Thank you, folks, again for your 20-plus years of supporting our ministry and what God has called us to do. After Sunday school, my wife found us a seat up front, and I said, "Did I say anything stupid?" She said, "No, but you probably will." So I told her, "Yeah, I had about another hour." So we're hoping not. A lot of talk about divorce in here this morning. I came from a divorced family. My parents were divorced. I don't know if I told you that or not. My grandparents were divorced. My great-grandparents were divorced. And I never went back any farther than that. But every now and then, I got to point my finger at my bride right there and say, "You know my history." So, we've been married 46 years, okay? And marriage is not a contract. It is a commitment. And without that commitment, you're not going to make it. She's been very gracious in putting up with me. If you have your pastor ask me how long I preached, and usually not very long, and everybody said, "Amen." Please turn to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. I preached a message from Jonah the last time I was here. As I recall, but maybe I didn't. Anyway, it's not the same one. Jonah, that's in a kind of in the clean part of your Bible. We've been in Kentucky, and I brought a West Virginia tie and a Kentucky tie with me. I said, "Honey, which one should I wear?" She said, "Well, you live in Kentucky now." So I root for Kentucky basketball and West Virginia football. I've got the best of both worlds. So, you know, being a West Virginian, even though I left there 30 years ago, it's like a Marine. Once a Marine, you're always a Marine. And once you're a West Virginian, you're always a West Virginian. I left there 30 years ago, and if you go to my home church in North Carolina, there's one particular, "Oh, yeah, that's that guy from West Virginia." You know? I left there. Yeah, for life. I mean, it's not something I'm ashamed of. Jonah, I'm going to read the first two verses. We'll be only looking at the first verse. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness is come up before me." Father in heaven, as we bow before you again this morning, we're so thankful for your blessings upon us, so thankful for your love for us, your goodness and your mercy, and so thankful for the one that we've been singing about this morning, our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray he'll be exalted and lifted up. I pray, Lord, for the services here this morning that you might walk, the Holy Spirit might walk the aisles, look at hearts, because if there's any going to be any heart changing done in this place today, it'll be you that does it. I pray, Father, for the work in Kentucky and Brother Joey as he preaches this morning, that you'll be with him and encourage him. Use him, Lord, to do a mighty work there. Guide us, Father, in what we say and do. May it all please you, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. The book of Jonah. The book of Jonah shows the sovereignty of God in the life of an individual and also his concern for a wicked city. And of course, if you go on down through this, I think there's 46 verses in this entire book, but if you go through the whole book, these four chapters, it's talking about the city of Nineveh, which was quite a large city, and they repented at Jonah's preaching. You would find out if you finished the book. Evidently, they fell away because Nahum also preached against their wickedness, but God, in his sovereignty, was concerned about this wicked city. And the book of Jonah begins with a declaration of duty. One notices a duty for Jonah, as well as a call for others, even duty for a particular fish in this book. And the recorded consequences warns us against disobeying God's call to duty. The brother here this morning talked about maybe God's calling you to be a Sunday school teacher. Listen, you never know. You never know what God might be going to do with you. Amen. When I first got saved, I guess I was saved about a year, and my pastor came to me and he said, "Would you teach the teen Sunday school class?" And with great fear and trembling, I said yes. These teens knew more about the Bible than I did. They were all in Christian school. As a matter of fact, they taught me how to pronounce some of the words. But today, as I stand before you, there were four teens in that class. One's a pastor. One's a missionary. One is a chaplain in the military. Who would have thought, out of a little coal mining camp in West Virginia, that God would do such a thing? And that's the same way here in Grace Baptist. Amen. You don't know what God might be using you to do. I mean, what you teach some of these kids will have eternal benefits that will go on and on and on. So don't neglect your duty in answering God's call to do a duty. It seems duty is a very important subject to God, but you know what? People are more interested in their rights than in their responsibilities. People are more interested in their privileges, but seldom in their precepts. People are more worried about their wages than their work. When I was in Africa, people would come to me, "Pastor, you have some work for me?" They didn't want to work. They wanted pay. You know? They weren't concerned about work. They wanted the final, you know, the payment for it. But you preach to somebody that they have a particular right, boy, they'll petition the powers that be. They'll march the streets to make sure they get what they deserve, what's due to them. But God, on the other hand, puts a high priority on duty. And when we get our priorities straight, we too will have a priority on duty. And that's what I want to challenge you with this morning. Do your duty. Do your duty. We're going to see a source of duty. And the word of God, see in verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. The word of the Lord is the basic source of duty. Before Jonah could know what God wanted him to do, he had to learn from the word of God. Okay? God, he didn't know God that he was supposed to go to Nineveh until the word of the Lord came unto him. And we too must know what our duties are, and God will speak to you and I from the Word of God, from His Word. I went somewhere Thursday night with my son and two grandsons, about 2 hours from home, and we went by a church, and on the marquee of the church, I saw something. I got to figure out a way to use it. It said, "We are a Facebook church." Boy, that got everybody's lit up, didn't it? "We seek His face and read His book." Amen. Huh? And I told my wife, I said, "Honey, somehow I got to get that on our marquee. I got to first get the folks to reading His book." We must know God's word before we can know His duty. Okay, that's where we're going to get it from. If one ignores the word of God, they'll walk in ignorance, ignoring maybe the most important responsibilities of life. I remember hearing a missionary one time. I hadn't been saved very long. And this missionary was preaching at a camp. It was the last night of the camp. They had a bonfire. And several of the counselors especially came down and surrendered their lives to the Lord. And here I was working in the coal mines, a lot younger than I am now, but still older than the average Bible college student. And I was impressed that I needed to go do that. I said, I must be misinterpreting something. You know, here I am, I've got 3 children, and, you know, I'm a boss, a foreman in the coal mines, and, you know, I teach Sunday school, and I go visiting every week, and whatever pastor says needs done, I go help do it. And I don't think, I must be missing something. You know, I'm too old for this kind of stuff. Kind of what my thinking was. But then the pastor invited that same man to our church in the fall. And he preached from Isaiah chapter 6. And in verse 8 it says, "Who can I send? Who will go for us?" Well, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and I mean, was working on me. But you talk about ignoring God's word. I was young in the Lord, and I knew he preached from Isaiah. And I didn't go forward that particular day and surrender my life to the Lord for full-time service. But when I'd be reading my Bible, I'd come to the book of Isaiah. I wasn't sure where it was, so I just skipped the whole book. I didn't take a chance. The Word of God wanted to speak to me, and I was ignoring it. And don't be guilty. I'm telling you that as a warning. Don't you be guilty of that. I've learned along the trails. The reason I ran from God was I was afraid he'd send me to Africa. Okay? Scared to death of spiders and snakes. I killed a rattlesnake a week and a half ago. But I was afraid he'd send me to Africa. I ran. And now, I kind of wish he'd send me back. We loved our time there. But I certainly ran from him for 3 years. And don't run. Don't run. It's easier. It's more comfortable to say, "Yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do, that's what I want to do." Because that's my position now. I don't care what God wants me. That's where I want to be. I don't care where it is. And I've got aches and pains that I don't think I would have had if I would have obeyed in the beginning. Don't ignore the Word of God. The will of God is never apart from the Word of God. They go together. God will never ask. Someone comes to you and say, "God told me this in a dream." And yeah. Say, "Well, you just ate too much pizza last night, sweetheart. You know, you'll be all right." You know? God doesn't speak in dreams. Hebrews makes that very clear these days. God spoke like that in times past. Dreams these days are a result of experiences and or desires. Because Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 says, you know, in times past, God spoke in different manners. He said, but today, he speaks through this, and his will never be different from what it says in here. Will never be different. Duty which comes from his word has top priority. You know, I don't know. I don't wear a watch, and I can't see that clock from the reflection on that back glass, and I'm worried to death there's a trap door under me. So I'm just going to hurry along, okay? But people say cultural habits. I hear this so much in Kentucky. "My daddy used to say." If I heard that one time, I've heard it 100. And you know what my response is? If your daddy was here today, he wouldn't say that. Huh? But cultural habits are ingrained in people, especially Appalachian people, it seems. And there's contemporary trends. People say, "Well, you know, this is how to do it these days." There's natural reasoning. There's fleshly passions. And all these are trying to demand first place in our life when, in fact, it should be the Word of God. It must be honored above any and all of these. So the Word of God is the basic source of our duty. Not only is it the basic source of our duty, it's the best source of our duty. It's always practical. It's always fitting. It's always needed. There are some people who say, the Bible is antiquated. I've ran across this. My daughter, she's a senior in high school, and she's taken this class, and it's evolution versus creationism. It's a mess, you know? And so I've ran across some of this stuff talking about how antiquated the Bible is, and this and that and the other. But let me tell you, the Bible is always practical, it's always fitting, and it's always needed. It certainly was practical for Nineveh. It certainly was fitting for Nineveh, and it certainly was needed for Nineveh, by Nineveh. We can always depend upon the Word of God. Every person can depend upon it in every situation and in every age. Never out of touch. So it's a basic source of our duty. It's the best source of our duty. And it's a blessed source of duty. One of the greatest blessings ever to come to man, one of the greatest blessings ever man was ever given was the Word of God. It was the Word of God. It certainly was the greatest blessing given to Nineveh, as it caused a tremendous spiritual awakening. Amos, in the book of Amos chapter 8, it says, Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that there's going to be I'll send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Folks, I don't know if I should be the one to tell you this or not, but I'm afraid we have a famine headed our way. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on down in Oklahoma. The Muslims wanted to bring in this Sharia law, and a judge said it was okay, one of his appointed judges. God is being pushed on the back burner. It's already in, Dearborn, Michigan, I think, one of the towns up in Michigan. Oftentimes, God takes away His Word when people refuse to hear it. When they just turn it off, He'll take it away. And that's what Amos was speaking about. I remember in the 1960s, I was in school. Okay, if you want to know how old I am. They took prayer out of school. They took the Bible out of school. You know what you find in school? I'm not sure about Pennsylvania, but I'm sure about North Carolina. You know what you find at every school in North Carolina these days? A deputy sheriff. A deputy sheriff. Every school. So they took away the KJV and replaced it with an LTD. Huh? That's what most of them ride. I mean, well, they're going to those Dodges these days, I think, but didn't ride. You know, Dodge didn't sound good with KJV. It's a preaching thing, you know. I remember when the first Gulf War broke out, when Iraq invaded Kuwait. We have a son that just retired from the military last year, so, you know, he was in the military at the time, and of course we were all concerned about those types of situations. And Kuwait said, send us your men, send us your young men and women to fight for us. But they can't bring their Bibles. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. Well, we had some men and women that had enough gumption about them that said, if we can't take our Bibles, we're not going. Okay, well, you can bring them, but you got to keep them in your barracks or something like that. They didn't want the Word of God. They didn't want it. So there's a source of duty. And finally, there's also a servant of duty. And when I studied this out, I was impressed how God works. Jonah's name means dove. Okay? And dove is a symbol of peace. His father's name, Amittai, it means truth of God, which is the truth of God, is the gospel. You couldn't have Jonah, peace, without Amittai, the gospel. In the same way in your life, you can't have peace in your life without the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who will bring that peace. And Jonah was a servant before he was a prophet. We read that in 2 Kings. Servant speaks of sacrifice, labor, and humility, where a prophet speaks of position, privilege, and status. In Zambia, you had people who wanted a position. They didn't want to be a servant. They wanted a position. They could say, oh, I'm a deacon down at Calvary Baptist Church. You know? There's one particular man who didn't go to a Baptist church. I witnessed to him a number of times. I know he's not saved, or at least he wasn't the last time I witnessed to him. He's somewhat influential in that he had the ability to make money. He wasn't a lazy man, but he wasn't saved. And the next thing I knew, his church made him a deacon. I said, wow. I said, the guy's not saved. By his own admission, he's not saved. And I'm going to tell you why they made him a deacon. He had a big truck and he could haul people to funerals. That's why they made him a deacon. So he wanted the status. He wanted to be able to say, I'm a deacon at such and such a church. But he certainly wasn't saved and wasn't qualified to do it. First Timothy 3 says that there's qualifications for church office. There's some qualifications. And we need to practice those qualifications in our lives, in our churches. We need to do what needs done and, you know, train people. And then, what is it, 1 Corinthians 4:2? It's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. And so we had a young lady in our vacation Bible school got saved. I don't know, 16, 17 years old. Plays the piano really well. We don't have a piano player. You know, I mean, I'd love to say, hey, Kelly, how about playing the piano for us? But I can't do it. I have to see faithfulness. And I can't tell her, if you'll be faithful, we'll let you play. I got to see faithfulness, and then I'll share that part with her. You know, I don't want her to be faithful. I'm going against what the brother said for the wrong reason. But that's what we need. The duty God gave Jonah opened unto Jonah a tremendous opportunity to preach to thousands. Thousands. But Jonah about missed it. He about missed it. He forsook all this opportunity. And you might be the same way. If God is dealing with your heart from the challenge you had here this morning about teaching Sunday school, you may miss a tremendous opportunity to have a great influence for the Lord over a long period of time. Your duty may not seem as special as Jonah's, but somebody takes good care of this building. And it's noticeable. It's noticeable. You might think, well, man, all I do is run a sweeper. Bless your heart. Somebody has to do it, and it's serving the Lord. Do it as serving the Lord. My wife and I do a lot of things in Kentucky that we have to say, we're not doing it for this. We're doing it for Him. You have to do that. If you don't, you'll get discouraged and say, it's not worth it. Pack up. Yeah, can't do that. Don't think that you're in some kind of obscure position. Trust me, southeastern Kentucky is an obscure place. And if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be there. And I'll be there as long as He wants me to be there. Because I'm doing it for Him. And when God has you a duty to do, remember, it's for Him. Do it for Him. Jonah ended up going, saw a tremendous revival. God speaks to your heart about doing something. Don't hold back. Jump in and say, Pastor Garthwaite, I want to do that. I think God wants me to do that. And you might be like me, scared to death. But let God use you. Let God use you. Father in heaven, we thank You for this time and Your blessing and Your love. Thanking You for Your salvation that's so freely given. I know I didn't speak much about salvation this morning, but all the songs did. You might be working in some heart even now that they need Christ. And I pray, Lord, You'll continue troubling that heart until they receive Him. Then maybe there's someone, Lord, that kind of on the fence, as it were, knowing you want to use them, but a little bit shy, a little bit scared, or whatever the situation. I pray, Father, you that might be overcome even today, and you might be glorified in invitation time. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.